Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
This is the Board Game Rundown. Today, we are going to talk about games we played, news, Kickstarters, and we got a topic that I think it'd be
pretty
interesting.
Cool.
Pretty good. And actually, we kind of have like the right, like you and I, probably out of everybody on the panel, probably have a lot to say about this specific topic.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, but make sure you first, you like, subscribe, and ring the bells and get the notifications. So when our videos release, we're doing all types, right? Unboxings, reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we filmed what, like one of each type today?
Yeah.
Also, check out our Discord channel, which is a link below. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on Facebook.
Yep.
We're super active on the Discord, and we've got a really nice group of guys in there. We're in there asking questions. You know, just kind of interacting, sharing pictures of games we played, not just us, right? But you guys too. And then we get to ask you about your games. And,
Because
I saw a bunch on there, like in the threads, like Brian Baru that I'd never even heard of. That I'm like, oh, well, this looks cool, you know? And like somebody had pictures of like Clash Cultures up there. Like, and that's a game I've been interested about for like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually like see some stuff. I was like, ooh, like that makes it even more interesting.
Right. You say you actually see a game like on the table.
Yeah. So Bobby, games we played.
You played a lot.
Yeah. So I was out of town. It was my wife's birthday and I took her out of town for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So I missed a meetup.
You did.
But Bob did not miss
the
meetup.
I did not miss the meetup. You should have brought her to the meetup for her birthday. It's more for your birthday.
Yeah, my birthday would have been cool.
So we had a pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
First, we started with Garinto. And I taught people
fantastic.
How to play Garinto. Yeah, great abstract
Grand Gamers
strategy,
Guild.
Grand Gamers Guild. It was a hit. People really enjoyed it. I don't think I have anybody that I've taught that hasn't.
I have not encountered anybody that's played Garinto that doesn't like it.
Yep. Yeah, so it's a winner. Get out there and check it out. After that, Caleb, we had a good player count, he said, for Shadows over Camelot. There were a bunch of us that had never played that,
Shadows
that
over
was
Camelot.
A lot of fun. That was my first time playing through that.
That's a good one. What'd you have, like five or six?
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lost.
Yeah. Who was the traitor?
Jesse. And he was going like, so if we got like one more black sword, that'd be bad, huh? And he flipped his traitor card over and we're like, oh, you jerk. And he was like participating the whole time, but we were such a hard time. Like,
yeah.
You know, the wrong cards were popping up.
It's a tough game, but it's really good. Yeah. I wish it wasn't out of print because that game is fantastic.
Yeah, little catapults in there are super cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig them. So then after that, I taught Korra to three new people and they all loved it. Yeah. They had a good time. And they were, you know, different various levels too, right? So, Jesse and Caleb played.
Hardcore gamers.
Yeah, hardcore gamer sharks. And then my friend Kim showed up, and she, you know, more of a lighter gamer, but she played it. She really liked it. And, it was, you know, so all, you know, skill
so
levels.
So I haven't played it, but I've seen it on the table. Theme, art, I mean, it all looks really good, right? It looks like a really well-made,
kind of like a civ builder, like it's a city builder more than like a civ builder, but you're kind of like
but picking, it plays faster
it, but
right?
yes but it plays in like an hour or so
and that's yellow games
so that's, you know, one of those ones we talked about saw the show a couple weeks ago,
right?
You might want to get that one sooner rather than later
just in case there's any distribution hiccups or snags. But just hit up your FLGS,
they probably got it.
They got, if they don't have it, have them order it. It's yellow, it's not hard to get yellow into the stores.
So after that, David taught me Architects of the West Kingdom.
Oh, right.
So I've had this game forever. He had his copy there, and I was like, yeah, I need to learn this game. It's been on my shelf for a while. I love the Shem Phillips games, and so he taught me that, and it's point salad, but it's super neat, right? Because you're like playing your workers, you have a ton of them, and as you place them on the different worker sites, like the more people you have there, the stronger the effect that you get.
Mm-hmm.
But then people can do an effect to arrest basically all the guys that you have at your location.
Oh.
And then they can either sit there and like hold on to them, and you have to like pay a bunch of money or take a debt card to get them back, or they can basically sell them to like the workers' camp, and then they get money for them, and then you have to go there and like jailbreak your guys.
Get
back
your guys out.
It
kind of reminds me of Yido. Did you ever play Yido? Yido has like an effect like that, where there's like it's a weird like lighthouse kind of thing where like there's different areas of the board that are going to be like highlighted, and then if your workers are in that area, they can go to jail, you know what I mean? They're like caught out in there, and then you have to go and get them back. Anyways, please continue.
And then we played Ra, and that was a hit. And so in my defense, I was taught this game. And I've been teaching people how I was taught.
I did not teach this game.
And it wasn't Tim.
For the record.
For the record, that's fair.
I believe it was Dan taught us.
No, it was your sister.
Oh, it was Julia?
Yeah.
Whoopsies.
But it was just a small thing. Like, you know, we were just doing the auctions. You know, people would force the auction with the tile thing. But when you pull a raw tile out of the bag, it automatically triggers one.
And not just building up the raws. But when the raws... But when you hit an X amount of raws, it still triggers the end.
No, that, well, if you pull the last one, there's no auction and it just ends.
Oh, it just ends.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. So, but that's a big thing, right? And so normally, like, if you invoke raw and you start an auction yourself and nobody else bids, you have to bid.
Right.
But if it comes up because you pulled the tile, then nobody has to bid. And if nobody bids, then it just goes away.
The tile goes away.
The tiles in the auction go away.
They all wipe, and you start a whole new thing over. Yep.
Okay. And basically what you end up doing is, even if there's no tiles there and you pull a raw tile, basically you're bidding for that sun token in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have the higher token maybe next time.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it was a very different kind of dynamic to it, like playing.
Yeah, raw's still really good.
It was still a lot of fun, you know, and like, you know, you're down to like two people and they're pulling, you know, and everybody else is done. And they're, trying to get them to pull the raw tiles and end the round soon so they don't get, a chance to build up more items.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And that was basically it for the night, because that was a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. And Shadows over Camelot is not a fast game.
No, it was a good 2 hours.
Yeah, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of those games where I don't mind like investing my time, because mm-hmm. I have such a good time playing it because the theme is so good and the components are fun. You know what I mean? It's just, I love that game. Yeah. I'm glad you got to play it.
Yep. While I was learning Architects, I didn't get a chance to play it, but Jesse and Caleb and Justin played Ankh.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Another game of Ankh going.
Another game of Ankh going. So, because that was the first time that Justin had played and he wanted to learn it.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Yeah, he got it.
As you should. Yeah. If you have the chance to play Ankh and you even think you might like it, try it out. It's
worth a try.
It's really good.
You know, I was just telling somebody the other day, too, like, they were talking about board games they like and whatnot, and they were like, you know, I'm always willing to try a game at least once. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, it's a great attitude to have, because I can't tell you how many times, like, I've looked at a game and just kind of questioned it and thought, like, Garinto was one of those. I kind of looked at it and I just wasn't really sure about it. But then we played it and I was like, this game's great.
Well, it's like Dan.
I know. Like, you look at him, you're like, and you get to know him, you're like,
eh. Oh, yeah. Well, there's that too. But like, Dan will say, oh, I don't like abstract strategy games.
Yeah.
Like, flat out.
Mm-hmm.
But then we play a game like Garinto, and he's like, oh, yeah, I really like this. Uh-huh. Do this.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
And this. So it's, and it's like,
yeah, just yeah, try it.
Try it out.
Maybe not Twilight Imperium if that's not really your thing, because you're going to, 4 hours of your time down the drains if you're not having a good time.
I would say any game that normally plays under 2 hours, I will try.
Worth the shot.
If it's longer than that, I'm going to be selective about who I play that with.
Yes.
I may not go in with strangers, because
it's happened.
It could be amazing and you could make all these new friends, but it could also be locked into a little hell for a couple of hours.
Yes, yes. So that was yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Today we got together.
Yeah, yeah. Fast Sloths.
Yes.
Which
that was awesome.
Friedman Fries, Stronghold Games.
We're going to have a review of that coming.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah. I'm in the chair. It's the magic chair.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dan, please feel better soon. Dan's under the weather right now.
Not too soon, because that's a lot of fun.
He's going to be like, his finger's going to be smoking. He's got a little ice bucket over here he could dip his fingers into.
Okay.
But yeah, Fast Slots, we played that. It is you could say it's a pick up and deliver.
Yeah, they're picking up and delivering you.
You. Yeah, so you're a sloth, you're really lazy, but you need to get all your leaves that are around, around this resort. And to do so, you're going to be drawing these cards of the animals, and you're going to be playing those cards, sets of those cards.
Yep.
And you're going to bring them to you. They're going to pick you up and carry you around, drop you off. Yeah. Or if you're an elephant, if you use the elephant, it might throw you a bunch of spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But very light and fun, cheeky kind of game. Real cute.
Yeah.
I was really happy with it.
If you got kids between like 8 and 14, that's when you can pick up and teach them. It's not like super light that you play with little kids, but it's not like super crunchy that like, you know, people who are into the heavy gamers might not dig it. But even though I like heavy games, I still had fun with it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I would say it. There's almost too much setup for it to be like a filler game.
Right.
But if you got a good, if you got an hour to burn.
Yeah.
Like
45 minutes to an hour.
I would play, because it, three of us played with learning in under an hour.
Yeah.
And all very much understood the game. Yep. Like, so it wasn't like, oh, well, you know, I was just trying to get through my turn. Like, no, it's pretty straightforward.
Yep.
And then I finally got to expose Bob to the terror below.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Tremors, the board game, but not
adjacent.
Yeah. Tremors adjacent.
Underneath.
Well, yeah. Below.
Until I come through.
Yeah. That when they burst out. And so, Bob, I've talked about this before, but I'll let you talk a little bit about Terror Below, because
I mean, it's like you're playing through like the game, right? You've got a team of three drivers that you're going to use one at a time to gain actions. You're going to play your action cards underneath these worms that'll help you manipulate these target tokens. Mm-hmm. They've all got like a health value, and then they have like a value on there that represents like how much noise they tolerate, and represented by those cards that you play underneath. Once you play a certain amount of cards, they're going to bust out of the ground, and they're going to scatter rubble and attack anybody that's in their attack zone that's described on the card. And you're trying to pick up the eggs that they drop and deliver them to the different locations, and you get rewards for that. You pick up rubble, and you can find like weapons and items and stuff in the rubble. Like, basically, you trade the rubble in for those.
But I like the way that you say it, because it makes it more thematic. Yeah, that's
now, like, oh, here's some rocks for that hat. No, it's like you're clearing this rubble out, and you're like, oh, look what's underneath here. It's a gun, and I'm going to use this to go kill that worm, you know? So, I think that makes a lot of sense thematically.
Or a military satellite, which I will use to blow up myself.
So, that was fun.
Sorry.
I won't let that one down for a while.
So I just love the chaos of that game. Yeah. I really do. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Neat bits.
One game I did get to play like during the week, Dice Miner.
Okay.
You know, played a little bit of Dice Miner, trying it out solo, just learning.
Right on.
I'm still having a very good experience with that game. Mm-hmm. And when we teach it to other people, everybody seems to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is a filler game, right? Yeah. You know, 20, 30 minutes,
right?
Even with teaching with four players. Mm-hmm. Dice Miner.
I did forget too, the Friday night Ben came over and we got to play. We finished out the scenario that we had stopped on.
On Descent.
Yeah. So nice. Like when we stopped, you know, cause it was a good stopping point. Cause I don't want to give anything away, but it was a good stopping point. And then we set it all back up and we put our guys on there, and then it was like, we played for maybe 30, 45 minutes, you know, and then that scenario was over. Like, well, we don't want to get into anything else. So we just kind of sat there and talked for a bit. But
sure.
Yeah, it was
still really good, though.
Still really good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
I am impressed with Descent 3rd Edition. Mm-hmm. I really am impressed. Yeah. I know it's got a heavy price tag, but if that is your kind of game, it's probably worth it.
Does it well.
You know, mm-hmm. it's probably worth it because the app is really good. Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of like the Gloomhaven Online a little bit with the app, right? Because now it's like we've got different quests open, and so you're like, oh, you can go this way, you can go this way, you can do this quest over here, you know, and like,
sure.
And as you do things and come back, it'll unlock like a city event that will happen that you can watch, and then it's a little bit of a, not necessarily like a whole like cinematic, you know, but it'll have like the like pictures and like real artsy, you know, the graphics and whatnot, and they do a really good job with it. So far, so good.
While we're also talking about games we played, so I've been playing Fury of Dracula digital, mm-hmm. cross-platform.
Nice.
So I'm going to tell you, if anybody out there gets the app, there's at least one other person in our Discord that we're setting up and coordinating times to play Fury of Dracula, and you can play it with, you can play it online, you can play it out, you know, like, offline, you can like pass and play.
Okay.
You can play against the AI.
Okay.
The tutorial is really good. It's really easy, very straightforward, and actually playing the app has made me go, I need to play Fury of Dracula. Like, we all need to get together and play the real one.
Mm-hmm.
And not because it's not because the app isn't good, but because it's like, ooh, I just want to play this with a bunch of my friends.
Right. And actually sit there and like watch people's reactions and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to read people and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's always good.
Right.
That's one of the nice things about hidden movement.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, so, but I guess this will segue kind of into news.
Okay.
So speaking of hidden movement stuff and like things I really like. So I got off work early one day. And I kind of had some time to kill. Kids are at school, daycare, whatever. Wife's at work. So I went and I busted out my mind management game again. And I'm like, I'm just going to pour over
all the bits.
Because I made a comment in either our review video or one of the videos we were talking about it. And they're like, oh, you haven't found everything. And I'm like, okay. Challenge accepted. And so they started doing a YouTube video series that's called like The Secrets of Mind Management. Now, I tried to like, you could see like the episode title, like a little bit of the description. So I tried to make sure, like before I watch it, I try to see if I can find everything.
Okay. Yourself?
Myself before they talk about it. And the first couple, I will just tell you, it's just kind of them going around and reading the Easter eggs on the side of the box.
Okay.
So that's fine. What I was interested in is like in the rule book, there is a thing where you can find like a hidden card. Like you can go to a thing and print out a hidden card,
mm-hmm.
and there's more of those. So I'm just going to say, check the insert very carefully.
Now I haven't played it, I don't know, but I will say that I believe it was Mechs versus Minions had a thing where you lifted the tray up and taped to the bottom of one of the trays was a freaking card.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So I was like, so this isn't that,
okay.
But there is a clue in the insert.
Nice. Okay.
And then also check the player screen real close.
Okay.
And like the art.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is some stuff. I was like, what?
Yeah, the, man, the graphics.
And then was running up and like printing off stuff. So I've got some new cards that I'm able to print that nice. I was able to print like threw in a sleeve, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just threw like an old Magic card behind it, right?
Yep,
in a solid color sleeve.
Yep.
It's like a proxy card, right?
Sure, sure.
But anyways, so I got some new cards just now. It's like I already love Mind Management, and it's like I gotta play this freaking game again because now I want to use these because these cards are basically like you don't need to unlock anything, you know, like with the shift system.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just throw them right in, and they're pretty neat. They nice. Do some neat things.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you also, I like it when you can comment on somebody's video, like Off the Page Games, for example, who does my management. You comment on their video, and usually within like a day, they're like, and message you back, you know, they comment back. They're very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think that's great. I try to do that on our own YouTube channel because I know I like it.
Right.
And these guys, I'm like back and forth with them, writing messages on their YouTube videos about stuff and like leaving vague clues to say which stuff I found, like,
okay.
You know, like, oh, my mind was blown, you know, or like things like, you know,
sure.
Just whatever. That was a big surprise, you mm-hmm. know, leaving just little context clues in there. Right. To let them know which ones I found. Now, for the time being, they've stopped taunting me, so I might have found everything that can be found okay. right off the bat. But I will tell you, so I don't know if you noticed this, but on the back of the board,
okay,
it's like a comic strip.
I haven't noticed. Okay. I'll tell you that right now.
So there's a so it's like so the board is like four panels, you know, as it unfolds.
Uh-huh.
So on each side on the back is like a whole like one of the characters you're playing, like a little comic.
Okay.
And it like
in the panels around the
yeah, yeah. And it panels and they're all kind of like oriented in different ways. And then the board, the little dry erase board that the agent uses, the recruiter uses,
yeah.
On the back of that is also a comic, right? Mm. In the same way. So if you lay the board down upside down, like so the comic is up, mm-hmm. and then you align
that in a certain way. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's some stuff in there, man.
Man,
it changed.
Crazy.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
How much work
and thought went into that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So sure. Even if you don't like the game, you have to appreciate the craft, mm-hmm. right? But anyways, I was so excited about that. That was like my own news. Like, ooh.
Right.
So getting into like the real news, game industry news. The big one, is CMON's 50th Kickstarter.
Oh yeah.
And so it was hinted that it was going to be Marvel related,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. They've been doing Marvel United, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
This is going to be a tough one for me. It's
really?
Going to be a real tough one for me.
Man. I guess to me it peaked with Black Plague.
Well, right. So they're going to do Marvel Zombicide.
Yep.
Here's the thing. I own a bunch of collected editions of Marvel Zombies and have for a couple years.
Okay.
They even just did like a Marvel, like a What If cartoon on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
That was a What If the Marvel Zombies thing
okay.
like went down. Fantastic. It is a fantastic episode of that show.
I have to watch that show.
You should check it out. It's really good. But anyways, so like some game shows, you know, way bigger than us got like promotional zombie Galactuses, but there's also somebody had one that wasn't. Like a zombie.
Okay.
And I don't know if they had something else.
Because
I think like the WizKids HeroClix Galactus would have come pre-painted and not all like that solid purple.
Purple, yeah.
Unless somebody painted it to like,
I don't know.
Troll people. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so by the time this episode drops, that Kickstarter should be live. And that is also basically just going to be my Kickstarter because I don't have a ton of
news.
Well, Kickstarters either.
Okay.
But other news, I guess. Why don't you get into some of yours?
I got like one or two. Last week I teased how I was getting some emails about the late pledges and whatnot, pledge managers being opened up for some of the games we talked about previously. And I got a little bit more information about that. So Quest and Cannons by Short Hop Games is on Backer Kit.
Yes.
So if you like that, you got to go to the Backer Kit. You got to tell them you're a backer. You just do a search and it'll take go to the project. You can scroll down and it'll say, did you miss the Kickstarter? You can pre-order here and then you can get in on it. And check it out. Like you go on there and you have all the pictures and everything. It's amazing. Like the bits are fantastic. Fun game. Next one I talked about was the Aridia, The Paths We Dare Tread,
yes,
by Far Off Games. That one's going to be on GameFound, so you can get on there and find it. And another one that we talked about on the show and was Oros. That one is Pledge Manager's opening up by Ash Games. It's going to be on CrowdOx. And that one's a little bit more tricky because you're going to have to actually make an account there.
Yes.
You tell them you're a backer and you get an account, and then you can search for the game and get on there and see other games that are on BackerKit that you might be
Yeah, that's how they
in.
Get you.
Or not BackerKit, I'm sorry, CrowdOx.
CrowdOx, yeah, but that is how they get you. You're like,
okay, fine.
Oh.
Like,
look at this.
Yeah, I don't know, that was on here.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get you right in there.
Yeah.
But there's those three we talked about on the show. They all seem really exciting. And if you're interested in those, get on there and check them out. Get in the first wave, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And while we're on that, Great Wall, which was why am I blanking? Lords of Hellas, Lords of Ragnarok, all those guys.
Awakened Realms.
So the Great Wall board game for U.S. People, they were shipping it to Europe and then shipping it from Europe over here.
Okay.
It got delayed a little bit. It was supposed to be in their dock last week, but actually the day we're filming it is the day it all arrives, which means it should all be in their hubs by the end of the week. Because they don't have Thanksgiving like we do. All their stuff won't be shut down.
Sure.
And then within a week or two, it should actually be coming over
making
from Europe
across,
to the United States, which will be faster than the
other way around.
Than the other way around.
It seems like the East Coast shipping has been a little bit quicker.
It's been better, right?
Yeah.
It's not as much of a logjam.
Not backed up yet.
I do want to say USopoly, okay? So they do, I mean, they do a ton of stuff. They've got like the Marvel Smash Up. They've got... they do a bunch of themed clues and monopolies,
mm-hmm,
and things like that. And some of the themed munchkins, they have the reprint for Raygun Games hit game that was out of print and really hard to get, The Thing, Infection at Outpost 31.
Really?
So now you can go and get that. So
nice.
You can either ask your FLGS to go get it, or you could go to the USopoly, USAopoly
awesome
website and get
very
it there.
Cool.
They also have the Cuphead dice game, which we talked about, like that was coming out. So that's now out and available, as well as the Disney Kingdom Hearts Perilous Pursuit. Have not played it.
No. Nope.
Don't know what it does, but I know that Kingdom Hearts
is
a big thing.
Yeah, people like it.
People like it. Actually, I think I saw there's some pictures from the Board Game Mechanics,
mm-hmm,
as Jason, I think, is getting ready to do a review of it over
nice
there. But pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I love it when a game that was out of print for a minute comes back in, and now you can just get it at a reasonable price.
It's having to be crazy on the secondary market.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic game. So I was really excited to see that, because that is a game that does not get enough love. I think it will get more attention now that it's going to be readily available.
Yeah. Well, now that we talk about it on the show, I mean,
oh yeah,
up, you know, so
yeah, three more people are going to wait.
Yeah, it's going to get that board game
that boom. all right.
Yeah, I got one more Kickstarter.
Go for it.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, Call to Adventure came out. It's a really neat game where you're like building your hero's story. And one of the neat things about it is you're casting runes, and like light runes and dark runes. And depending on what faces they, you know, pop up, you get like certain results instead of rolling dice and whatnot. And but they have a new expansion coming out called Epic Origins. And it's going to mix with the original one. And they have this a book that's got a magnetic clasp, and it's going to hold everything in there. It looks like super nice.
The box looks amazing.
It looks amazing. It looks like it's a big like novel. Like it's like the big story.
I was
going to
say, and this is based on a set of books, right?
It has a Name of the Wind expansion.
Got you.
That came with it, and which is an amazing book. If you haven't, I'm gonna plug it right now. Audible, get on there. The guy who does Nick Podell, he does an amazing job reading those books, and it's
so
totally
I always associate
totally
the Call to the Adventure
with that, yeah,
because of you,
mm-hmm,
which is a good thing.
Yeah, which is a good thing, because it's great. Man, I'm telling you, like the cards they added for that too. And if you've read the books, It's perfect. Really good. And the art and stuff, like it's what you picture in your head. It does a great job of translating it.
But the art and the production on this looks really good.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, the art, it's amazing on all these. And then, like I said, that the big book to hold everything together.
So is this like its own game or an expansion?
It's a standalone, I do believe. And then, but then you can also mix the cards together.
Okay.
You can just get this by itself and play it, and it's fine. But if you have the original one, or if you don't have the original, they have a thing where you can get it all together, get the sleeves for it. And I recommend getting the sleeves because they're nice, big, beautiful tarot cards. Mm-hmm. And so the sleeves that you get for them are, you know, fit perfectly to it, makes it easy to shuffle.
And they're the premium
nice.
Sleeves, so they're snug.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
exactly. So they're really nice. So it's worth it, in my opinion. Especially if you like storytelling type games and whatnot, mm-hmm. you know, because it's not like the most straightforward game. It's like, you know, I think my character, because you pick a starting thing like, I was a beggar and I had mm-hmm. this, you know, so you have like your starting attributes. And then as you're like, you have these lines of quests and you're like, and then I broke up a fight in the alley. And I'm so you test your strength and you would cast the runes to see if you, mm-hmm. I passed. So yeah, my character then, you know, did that. And then he had a confrontation with the guards. And you're kind of like just building your character story as you play. So it's fun.
I dig it. That sounds neat.
Yeah,
but that's Brotherwise Games.
Yep.
Do you have the pledge levels? You're good.
So let's see here. The Adventure was just the new stuff, $40, right? You get all the Kickstarter extras in the base game. You get the Hero for $60, which is a deluxe version of the game with the sleeves. The Epic Hero deluxe game plus some premium accessories. And then the Chosen One, which is $200, but that gets you everything. You get the Name of the Wind expansion, the base game.
For $200?
The collection.
That's not bad.
All the fancy bits, all the sleeves for it. So
that's really not that bad.
That's not bad. Right?
Yeah,
when you're paying
you
$95 for just like the new fancy bits, plus you're adding all the old stuff, plus the old expansion.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. So that'll go into, we had somebody ask, because I said something about like CMON Kickstarters not always loving the way that they do their Kickstarters.
Yeah.
So I'll just get into that and then we'll go into our topic.
Okay.
So CMON, my big issue with CMON Kickstarters, and I say this as someone who has backed many CMON Kickstarters, especially like the Eric Lang ones. I love Ankh, Blood Rage, Rising Sun. I love all of those. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Zombicide Black Plague.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we've got a ton of CMON stuff. Yep. So we're not CMON haters.
Right. Got Green Horde too.
Yeah.
And the original Zombicide.
Yeah.
I got a lot of CMON stuff.
But what I don't love that they started doing is, and I get some people love this, I just don't. So like Marvel United, X-Men, it's $100, you get that game, and then you get all like the stretch goals with it. And then they'll say like, $150, and you're going to get all the stretch goals and this expansion. Okay. But then what they do is then it's like, and then for $20 you can get the, you know, X Factor pack or whatever. I've just made that up. I don't know that that's a thing. You know, and right. then the New Mutants pack, you know, and it's all these extra packs of characters.
Kind of like nickel and dime and you a little
bit. And things. And it's like, just
put it all together in one thing.
Just at least give me the option where you put it like $300 and you get every single thing that we have mentioned on here.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, you're sitting there and you're trying to do the math. You know what I mean? Like, well, I had this and I had this and this.
That.
You know, and I think that it's great to have a la carte options because for some people that is,
right.
they're going to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. People like Bob and I, we tend, I'm going to speak for you,
sure.
But we tend to just, if we're going to get in on a Kickstarter, we get everything for the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like, I just want my all in button.
Right. Either a base pledge or an all in, you know.
And then I can ignore all the mini ones in between, right? All the, you know, this and this and this. Yep. I just need those two ends of the spectrum.
Yep. And I also appreciate, you know, like if some of the games are harder to get when they're like, we're going to offer some of our back catalog.
Oh, right.
Like that's fine too. I don't have any problem with that. But yeah.
I love that. But yeah. And then CMON has now done this thing and I get it. You sign a big deal and you got to move stock, but they sign this thing where they tell you Kickstarter exclusive. So you're only going to be able to get it if you back it on the Kickstarter or realistically like the secondary market, or if you go to a convention, right? And I get it. You're at a convention.
That's
you're going
to
sell whatever you can because big game companies don't make money at conventions because they spend all that money on the booth.
Getting people there, renting the booth and paying people to work it.
They don't even always have enough stock to sell. Even if they could sell enough to pay for the booth, it's really hard to be able to transport and
store all
of that stock to actually make enough money, because yes, they may sell you a game for $100, but they might only be making $5 or $10 a box
on that,
you know, off
after
of
all
that.
The overhead. Yeah.
You know, just because of everything else that costs, especially with shipping, what is. So I have no problem with that. I 100% support that. But two things that Simon does. One thing is Marvel United was showing up in big box stores. Like now it's base game retail edition, but it was showing up in big box stores before people were getting their Kickstarter versions.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
That kind of stinks because Kickstarter really is a pre-order, right? Mm-hmm. And so I am pre-ordering.
Especially for somebody as big as Simon.
I'm paying a premium to get... Yeah, I get it if they go... If they're going to give you the option where you can have it now, like one or two wave shipping, Awakened Realms will do that, right?
Yep.
Where it's like, okay, well, we'll give you the base game now, and then you can get everything else
later on.
Later on, I did that with Lords of Hellas.
Nemesis, or you didn't get
Nemesis? No, I didn't. I didn't do Nemesis, but I've done that where it's like, I'll just
get the base game and learn it, and then when the expansions come, you learn those.
I'm ready for those.
Yeah,
but I've also waited. Right. You know, it's like I'll just wait for everything. So I feel like if they're going to do that, you should give the option
to your backers.
To your backers. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of people that would have loved to have Marvel United or Zombicide or whatever early before you go walking down the aisle at a Walmart and there's a Marvel United right there and you're like, "Wait, what?" Yeah. Now, yeah, it doesn't have all the extra characters and all that stuff, but still like it's right there and I'm still 2 months out from getting my game. Like that's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't back Marvel United, but
you're
in the community
about it. Yeah.
You see all the stuff. It's all over social media or just even in circles. The other thing I don't like is they're going to say Kickstarter exclusive, blah, 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 you know, and then they sign a deal with an online retailer, you know, now granted they do have a brick and mortar, which is really nice.
It is a very nice store. Been there.
Yeah, we've been there. We have, purchased
many things from there.
But they sign a thing there. Like, so Hate, for example.
That was a big one.
Hate was supposed to be Kickstarter only. Only place you can get it. So you would have to go to a convention.
Right.
If you didn't back it on Kickstarter. You'd have to overpay somebody, on a secondary market site. But then they signed a deal, and now you could get it and all the Kickstarter stuff with it. Probably, I think actually for cheaper
than what the original
than
was.
What the original backer cost was. Yeah, now, granted, you wait 2 years or 3 years to do that, but still, that kind of stinks.
Yeah, it stings a little bit. You know, they could have just done like another either expansion and then offered that other stuff again, like you were saying, like, oh, you can order this back stuff here, you know, on Kickstarter. Okay, that's fine. It's still Kickstarter,
right?
You know, you're still playing by the rules.
Well, you know, it's like After the Empires, right? Where they did like a deluxe edition thing. You know what I mean? And you could get in and you could back it and order it and you could get all the, you know. They let you get in the option to get all, you know, like
all
the bits and everything. And it's like, that's awesome. You can go there and you could still get like the Kickstarter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they ran it through a very specific thing, you know, and it wasn't like even I would have been mad if I went into my FLGS, not even just a big box store. But if I had, let's just say I backed Marvel Zombicide and, you know, I all in and I'm waiting for all this stuff and I roll into my game store. And there's the base game for Marvel Zombicide sitting on the thing, and I'm still a month out from all my stuff. And without even the option to get my base game
earlier,
you know, and pay for split shipping.
Right.
And it's like, I just don't love it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're being nefarious or anything. I just think it is an oversight because Marvel Zombicide, whatever they charge for it, is going to fund within minutes, and it will probably be over $1 million within the first couple of hours.
Yep.
It's a hot IP. It's a solid game. We love Zombicide.
Yeah, the bones that it's built on are good.
Yeah, they're all really good. I own the Night of the Living Dead Zombicide, which I still need to play, but I love playing the Black Plague, the medieval version of Zombicide.
That's great. Yeah, especially because my friend Pete painted a bunch of my minis.
Pete's super talented, but Bob's got it, so I never needed to get Zombicide because I know if I'm like Bob, like let's play Zombicide, it won't be that hard because then by the time you're setting it up, three other people are gonna walk by and be like, "Yeah, can I get in on this?"
Mm-hmm.
It's so good with all the options. It's great. Yeah. It's a ton of fun, and they've improved the rules since the original version, which now we just house rule.
Yeah, we had house rule that before they did that, so yeah.
But I mean, so Simon does a lot of things right. There's a ton of games of theirs that I absolutely love, you know, and I just...
Just that practice is very... It itches the wrong way.
It just irritates me, and I will complain about it every time.
Yeah.
but anyways, it's kind of interesting because we're talking about Simon and somebody who was famous before Simon, but then got famous.
More famous.
Eric Lang had a tweet. I'm going to sum it up very poorly, but he was just posing the question as far as your interest in campaign or legacy style games versus like regular games, right? Mm-hmm. So like if we sit down and play Dice Forge, mm-hmm. and then we sit down and play Dice Forge again, nothing carries over
correct
from the next game. Yeah, tweet will.
Wherever that's at.
Somewhere.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Over his face.
Ooh. That's a spot for it. But anyways, so as I interpret it, and I could totally be misreading it, but I thought it was interesting because Jeff had pointed it out, and I was like, yeah, that's a good discussion.
Yeah.
Some of the benefits or pros and cons, I guess.
Of the different types of.
Of the different types of games. So, Bob, you have played, like, through Gloomhaven, right? All mm-hmm. the way?
Yep. Almost twice.
Almost twice?
Yeah.
You've played Charterstone?
Yep.
Like,
I played Clank Legacy.
Clank Legacy once yeah. or twice? Just once?
Just the once. I played Aeon's Legacy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Aeon's End.
Yep. Aeon's End, the Legacy version. Yeah.
So you played a ton of Legacy games.
Yes.
Right now, right? You're playing through Descent 3rd Edition,
yeah.
which is a campaign.
Yeah. It's not Legacy, though.
It's not Legacy as much as just a campaign. I would define that as like a campaign game, right?
Yeah.
So like.
Not permanently altering anything. Yes, you're unlocking new cards and gaining new items and like kind of like leveling up your character that way. But you're not like.
But you can
in my
reset.
Opinion, yeah, it's very easy to reset. You just put everything back and then you reset. In my opinion, like a Legacy means you're putting stickers on, you're writing on things, you're altering the game as you're playing.
By
through.
The time you're done, the mm-hmm. game that just comes out of the box, your board state is already different.
Yep.
And most of the time, you can never go back.
Yeah, a lot of them they do sell like reset packs.
Yeah, I've got
like stick blank stickers you put over everything, or like just new cards that you can then.
I've got the removable sticker pack for Gloomhaven.
Yeah, I got that. In my opinion, it was garbage.
Was it?
Yeah, it still sticks real bad and everything, and you can't really reuse them. It didn't work very well for me at least. I mean, I got one of the first ones that came out because
sure.
I got it, you know, at launch and everything.
Yeah.
And I got the sticker kit right away. Maybe they have better stickers now. I don't know, but yeah, I still find myself doing this.
Sure.
You know, so you're bending up the corners and everything,
yeah.
leaving scratch marks on it. Not the greatest, you know.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, it's Gloomhaven. You're in. You got a lot of time and money.
I got so much time out of that game.
Yeah,
it was worth it.
But so it's funny because when I was, when HeroClix first came out, early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
I had a couple of friends that we played a lot of HeroClix together, like all the time, like you know, like you would play Magic with,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and. I had actually worked out like a scenario board kind of based on like Secret Wars. So like the original Secret Wars comic book where all the villains and all the heroes get transported to this planet and they've got their own bases on like different, you know, sides or whatever. And then they're basically just fighting for the entertainment, you know, of the Beyonder. And I always loved like that little mini series or whatever. So I had come up with like a map and, it'd been like, okay, now if you hold this point, you are going to get extra points to build your HeroClix army with. You know what I mean? And like
okay.
things like that. So you're trying to like strategically go in and attack and control different points. Like,
sure.
So
your next game could be good.
Right, yeah. right. But like, so you might have more points for holding this area, but you can use less figures.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so you have to balance that a little bit. So this was like me like tinkering with game design without even really knowing it because we played so much. We were just trying to come up with like interesting ways.
Sure.
And I thought, you know, oh, it'd be interesting if like it carried over, you know, and like other things carried over into the next game. Cause normally, right. You play Magic or something. You just sit down,
you're done.
Play, you're done,
you're done. Yeah.
Shuffle, go again, or you grab a different deck or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, so anyways, then, you know, now I'm like in this age of like all these legacy games and campaign games, which is super lucky to
mm-hmm.
be in.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know that I'll ever get my wife to play a campaign game, but we could play, you know, Dice Miner, Dice Forge, you know, Quacks, Taverns,
mm-hmm.
you know, nothing carries over. So the replayability is there. That's the value in those games, I guess, for me, right?
Yeah.
Is the replayability, you're going to get a pretty different experience. Because now, even more now than what used to be, right? So like, used to just be Catan. In Catan, you just kind of get what you get. You know, the differences might be where the tiles are
tiles
lined up.
And what numbers are on them.
You know, but even then with expansions to Catan, you know, they've added, it adds more replayability and variety.
Mm-hmm.
But now that games have evolved, a lot of stuff comes with so many things that like you're only using certain, you know, modules or, you know, like things. So do you know, do you feel like you have a preference of one or the other? I mean, there's obviously room for both in your life. Yeah, there should be.
There's definitely, yeah, definitely room for both. And I guess it kind of depends on which game it is, right? Because like some of the games like the Clank and the Aeon's End, the really neat thing about that is if you just go by like a normal Aeon's End game, you've got these full-fledged characters and you're playing them and this and that. Well, as you're playing through the Legacy game, you start out, you're kind of like an apprentice, right? And you're building up your skills, you're burning up your building up your custom deck, this and that. And then when you're done with the game, you can take your character to one of the standard basic other games and play that in that game.
That's pretty cool.
And that is super cool to me. And that's the same thing with the Clank one too, is like you can, there's stuff like that that you can add to the other games and whatnot. And that's, I enjoy that aspect. Like Gloomhaven, obviously, it is what it is. You play for the Gloomhaven, you're done.
Yeah, but Gloomhaven is Gloomhaven. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. It's not like Clank where there's the Legacy version, right. And then you've got the...
And then it's like something like Charterstone. I'm like, and yeah, sure, you could just pull out your finished board and like basically like replay the game and the whole thing, but you could just replay the last scenario, right?
Play a
just,
game of Charterstone, right?
On yeah. I never did that. You know, like, I probably won't ever redo that. Like I would play through the campaign again if I got another new group and they wanted to do it. I had a lot of fun with it. I would definitely play it again. But I don't think I'd pull out my finished game and try to replay.
Yeah, that was always kind of the thing that I thought was, I don't know, this probably sounds too harsh, but always rang a little hollow with like, oh, well, when you're done with the Legacy game, you could always just play Pandemic, right? Pandemic Legacy had a thing where you know,
just
like
play on the last, wherever your board state was at the last game, you can just play with that.
That's what you play with in as. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose you could. Yeah.
Right. But like the fun of like Charterstone is the opening of up the crates and the boxes and seeing the new buildings and worker types and all kinds of stuff you can unlock.
And stuff. Yeah,
yeah, there's all kinds of awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. And I haven't finished our Charterstone, but I would imagine that by the end, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm not
that was
like...
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a dig on Charterstone.
No, it's just, I mean, that's just what it was made to be, you know, and you can get which I did do that. Like I got like 3 or 4 episodes into Charterstone and then the group kind of like fell apart. So we got some other people and we got a recharge pack.
Flipped the board over.
Flipped the board over, redid it, and we played through the whole thing. And,
yeah.
You know.
That's and that's
fine.
A fantastic way to be able to do that.
To get that
right?
replayability. Yeah. Because instead of having to go out and buy a whole new one, you pay like $20 and you get a whole new thing of stickers and you know, recover everything up. And you got to put some of the stuff back in some boxes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And some of the spoilers are you already know, but it allows you to make different decisions. Like, oh, you know what? Last time I went this way to get the cats and the pumpkins and whatnot, but this time I'm going to go over here and do bricks and, you know, golems and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, do you have a preference?
Yeah, I guess that was the original question, wasn't it? And I guess, caveat king, it does depend, I think, on what it is.
Sure.
You know? And I really enjoy the Legacy, you know, and like I said, like the Aeons and like building my character and putting the stickers on him. And like, oh, I think that ability would work good with this ability. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really enjoy that. However, the other ones that are more like just like the campaign style, the fact that I can just play through with Ben a little bit on Descent, and then I guess some other people come over and they want to check it out, I can just, you know, reload, make a new party, choose that party to play, and then play it all again and not have to worry about who's got what stickers, who was playing what character, this and that, you know.
Right.
It makes it easier to play with multiple groups.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so... It really kind of depends. I guess it's hard for me to just pick one definitively over the
other. Sure. Well, you know, but those are still like the legacy slash campaign. So that's one column. Then the other column is like Orleon or
Risk. See, I haven't played the Orleon Legacy or I haven't played.
No, I'm talking about just playing it straight.
Standard game.
Yeah, standard game versus the campaign style. Right?
I'm sorry. I guess in that case, then I would prefer more the Legacy because I do enjoy, like, I played a lot of D&D and I love the leveling up and the advancement and stuff like that and how things from one game carry over to the other and how, like, we were talking about the Raiders of the Law. North Sea and all those, and how, like, yes, they're all individual games, but then they have the Rune Saga, which kind of combines them all together and makes
Let
it like
play.
A legacy type of game. And I think that is super cool. Like, I love each of those games independently,
right?
But the fact that I can play them all, and then they have different like win cons for the game, you know, and you know, depending on what you do, you can you know, unlock win the overall. You might not win like the individual game, but you could win the overall saga. And so yeah, I guess in my opinion, I would enjoy the legacy ones more, just because it gives me more.
Oh yeah.
But then you know, sometimes you don't got time for that.
Right. Well, and it depends on who you're gaming with and game groups and meetups and things like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I'm really happy to have like a nice balance of both.
Yep.
I would like legacy games more if I have more time and opportunities to get the same group of people together to keep doing, you know,
same ones.
To drive it through. I've been better about making efforts to like keep things going. But it doesn't mean I don't love them. Cause like Descent second edition, I play, before I had third edition, I played a bunch of that solo and like Imperial Assault. I played a bunch of that solo campaign style because I just run like two or three characters, you know, and you just go through and you do all the stuff, you know, and the app does a great job. I play like Mansions of Madness solo. But again, so Mansions of Madness, unlike Descent, Mansions of Madness is not a Descent style or a legacy style, right? Yeah. Or campaign
it's
style.
It's just a
scenario based, right?
Scenario based, yep.
But like, I've gotten to play, I'm drawing a total blank. It's a Eric Lang, Simon, like chibi kind of, I can see all, it's like Inferno. They got like the,
he doesn't do Arcadia Quest.
Arcadia Quest.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's Eric Lang?
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't
so
know
Arcadia
okay.
Quest, right? Like I have played like a one-off scenario like with that, but it's like I could see where playing a campaign of Arcadia Quest would be so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
And leveling up and building up those characters, right?
Yeah, I played through a bunch of that once when I had my second shift group. Yeah.
And like that sounds amazing to me. The nice thing is a game like that gives you the flexibility,
right?
So you have your cake and eat it too, right? But
it's hard to just come down definitively.
It's hard for me to really come down definitively. I would say it's a push. You know, it's a tie. But if you're gonna like put a gun against my head and make me choose, I would probably choose the not campaign style just because I get those played more.
Sure.
But man, I get a lot of satisfaction out of a game that carries over and you can keep building up, you know, and it builds on itself. Mm-hmm. Like I love storytelling game, you know, like Dune House Secrets. I'm really excited to get more into that and see how that unfolds. You know, I've got Clank Legacy. I've just got to get the group lined up because I've heard so many great things about
many good things.
And I've heard people like that's one that people have gone and played multiple times.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you've gone through it and, I'm just like, because I love Clank.
Yeah,
like Clank is a sit down and just play a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's also interesting is you can play Marvel Champions both ways.
Okay.
You know, like can play like the campaign, you get like the big the villain expansion that's like the mini like the box.
Mini
you
expansion
know?
Thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the mini expansions I think are the packs.
Individuals. So this is a mid expansion?
Yeah,
medium expansion?
I don't because it's not a big box.
Yeah,
expansion.
But you get a couple of heroes and then you get like 3 to 5 like villain scenarios,
and then
yeah.
and you can play them through in a campaign
style,
mm-hmm. and I just
or you can just do an individual and just play it.
Yes,
yeah,
and I love that, and yeah. I was so happy. Like Marvel Champions was a game that I bought, sat on my shelf for like 2 months, finally learned how to get it played, and I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
there's so much good stuff to it. But I try to like Bob have my cake and eat it too. I try to do both. I think you get more in-depth, rewarding experiences out of the campaigns and scenario or legacy style games. Again, I played a lot of D&D and RPGs, you know, growing up and stuff like that hits me in the feels.
Right.
But man, sometimes I'm just happy to be able to sit down and play a game, right? So if we're going to play Fast Sloths, you know, it's like, well, I don't, my sloth is way too lazy to carry anything over into the next game. So that's not happening.
That's kind of the nice thing about like my friend Ben comes over, like we've got it set every other week on Fridays. He comes over. That's our legacy day. We've got, you know, we've done so many, almost every single one of those I've named off. I played with him.
Sure.
And, you know, and we dedicate that time to it. And then if we want to play other games and do other stuff, then, you know, on different days, Saturdays or Sundays, whatever, he'll come over and we'll get other people and we'll play
whatever else,
you know? Yeah. So yeah. Get the cake you need it too.
Hey, that's a good way to be.
Yeah.
And again, there's so many games like out there now. Like, I mean, this is a golden age of board gaming.
Yeah.
While shipping.
Great time to be alive.
While shipping and stuff might be nightmares, there's plenty of games in your FLGSs that are going to scratch all of these itches for you.
Yep. Plus, like, look around. There's you know, board game groups who get together and do meetups and whatnot. Like, we have our local one here, the Meeple Gaming Society. You can find us on Facebook. I think there's a link in the description below.
Yep.
But every month or so, we do 1 to 2 events at our local FLGSs where we all bring a bunch of games in and we sit around and we play them and it's awesome.
that's really how it goes. Yeah. And the nice thing is it's the game stores are usually happy with us because I don't know how many times Caleb has played a game with us and then been like, okay, I got to buy this.
Yeah, and we'll go out and buy it off the shelf. And
yeah,
go buy it.
Yep. I go buy this. Yep. But it's a great way to play new games. Get your games played. Get them off your shelf of shame.
Yep. Meet new people. And expand the hobby.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it's about, man. But anyways, I thought it was a pretty interesting topic. Just kind of ramble on about some of those things.
Right.
But it's... There's so many games now, it's almost kind of worth like pointing out, like, hey, there are these different kinds of things. There are these, these campaign
games. Not just what you're
games.
Used to seeing. You know, yeah, there's a lot of other things out
it
there.
It used to be like only a few legacy or campaign games, you know, like not many. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, there's so many games that have a campaign mode.
I'm so excited for that. What was it? The Iridia.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good. I can't wait.
Well, what's exciting about that is like a game like Zaya, Legends of a Drift System.
Mm-hmm.
That's a one-time play. Nothing carries over. You can play a very... You can longer game. Yeah, you can make...
you can set the length.
Yeah, you could play a longer version of that game and get a lot out of it. But this, to me, feels like that, but that campaign style where you're constantly upgrading and leveling up and doing all these neat things, you know, and the way that the buildings work, like when you walk into the buildings and you reveal.
So cool. Can't wait.
It's going to be so good.
Yep.
But anyways, guys, thank you for watching. Yeah. Please check out our sister channels. There's Mini Rundown. There's Pokemon Rundown. They also have Discord chats. Mm-hmm. So get in there if you want to talk to those guys. Always check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics. Jason and Katie are pretty okay.
Yeah.
And if you want to hear them bag on Dan, they do it every week on their podcast.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job of it.
And Jason also cranks out tons of review videos. I think him and Katie were even... They're doing a top 100.
Yeah.
So every week you get 10 from each of them. But on their YouTube channel, they're doing like their top... I think is it up to 200? So it's like they're doing the ones that didn't make their
didn't
top
make
100.
The cut. Okay.
So they're on there talking about those, and that's pretty fun. A nice alternative, right? Like it's something else to go and check out. And Jason does a ton of reviews and everything, and they cover a lot of stuff we don't. The nice thing is about having them as friends is we talk about games with miniatures and good components and good art.
Right. And space.
And space. And Katie talks about good games, and then Jason talks about what he talks about. Dan's not here to be rude, so I have to do it.
I've got to step up.
But no, they're awesome. I love
good
them.
People.
They're amazing people. Mm-hmm. So throw some support their way. Check them out if you haven't already.
Derivative or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
If you're not part of their Facebook group, they have a... Their Facebook community is what I aspire for ours to be. Yep. It's a lot of positivity and people just sharing pictures of games. Yeah. There's no politics. There's no...
Yeah, and if you're in the Ohio area, they do some meetup things too. So if you get in that Facebook group, they could maybe manage to meet up with them.
You go. I mean, other than Ohio just being Ohio, I mean, they help.
Yeah, it helps.
But anyways, guys, that's been it for the Board Game Rundown today. I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
We'll see you next time.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
So you know, what's weird? Yeah. There is less. I'll say this on camera. I should have mentioned it. So I was in an independent film that had Kieran Shaw in it.
Don't know who that is.
That's fine.
Okay.
He was the midget little person, who helped the Snow Queen in Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay.
Which stars James McAvoy as Mr. Tumnus. And he's in
X-Men First Class with Kevin Bacon. So you are 6 degrees.
Yes.
Wow.
But
so
you guys
now
are
I'm, yeah, we're with
both.
It.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.